Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Dippy Does It All, where curiosity meets chaos, and it's been over a month since I last recorded. I got a break from school, and life got busy with me trying to fit in all sorts of fun. I'm now back, and I'm refreshed. I've got a whole bunch of stories to catch you up on, from food adventures at the state fair to board games, movies, and even a truckload of tree trimmings gone wrong. It's time to get back in the swing of things. Okay, or should I say, all right. We've got to talk about it. The biggest news of the year, Taylor Swift is engaged. Yep. The woman who has fueled every breakup playlist since 2006 has officially locked it down with none other than Travis Kelce. I remember we all thought it was a joke. No way is this happening. Looks like it's happening. I mean, I don't know Taylor. She doesn't know me. She should, but she doesn't. But that's not stopped me from reading all about it in the news. I've even been blasting her music on repeat. The neighbors probably think I'm going through something. Why is this gal mowing the lawn too Enchanted? Meanwhile, Jackie's just rolling her eyes like, please stop choreographing a flash mob for a wedding that you'll never be invited to. But hey, Taylor's engagement is more than just celebrity gossip. It's a sign of hope. If she can find true love after 15 albums of heartbreak, then Tina can too. It's happening, Tina. You're a wonderful lady. It's gonna come. Speaking of that, we gotta get Jeremiah on here to do our dating episode. I've offered him all sorts of options. He's too busy. We need to get him on here. We're going to make it happen. I even told him my Rodecaster lets me take calls. So we could even do it that way if he doesn't want to come to town. But he wants to be in person. He said it'll be better in person. So let's see what we can do. This is something I really want to talk about. Dexter. The new series, Dexter Resurrection. I've been totally obsessed. Finally, they are writing the absolute crime scene that was the ending of season 8. I mean, come on. Dexter turning into a lumberjack? That's not character development, people. That's a career change. This new series, it feels like redemption. The writing's sharper, the tone is darker in all the right ways, and the interaction with his son is honestly incredible. That dynamic has given the show so much more weight. Not only is Dexter juggling his dark passenger, but now he's got to figure out how to repair his relationship with his son that shot him. And Peter Dinklage is in it, and his character is sinister. I mean, that guy can act. And here's how deep I've gone down the rabbit hole. I've even started reading the Dexter book series. Yep, I'm that gal now. Comparing the novels to the show like some sort of blood spatter lit major. Honestly, it makes the show even richer because I can see more of the layers of who Dexter is. So yeah, Dexter Resurrection is doing what I didn't think was possible. It's cleaning up the mess that season 8 left behind. You really have to watch it. I've been on my seat week to week waiting for it to pop on Fridays. It's now done, so you can stream it in its entirety if you're one of those people. It's on Paramount Plus, since Showtime combined with them. Check it out. And speaking of screen time, I've been trying to watch all sorts of things. I watched the Naked Gun remake, which actually was still hilarious. The beginning started off a little bit weird, and I thought, great, this is where we're going. It took a turn for the better. And it makes me want to fall down a flight of stairs for comedic effect, just to see how it goes. And I also watched the I Know What You Did Last Summer remake, and spoiler alert, just watch the original. It really wasn't that great. And I think it's because I read this book called Lost in the Stream, How Algorithms Are Changing How Movies Are Made. And really, truly, the only reason that movie was greenlit is because the studios knew that the nostalgic factor would sell tickets. It's almost like they don't even care if you have a good script anymore. They're just going with known properties because they know people will show up, which, right or wrong, it's true, we show up. But really, that's the problem. Oh. And I watched that train wreck that's called Unknown Number High School Catfish Story. Let me tell you, I was absolutely shocked by this. It's on Netflix, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but honestly, I could not believe anyone would do that. I just couldn't believe it. And we had the pleasure of going to our beloved Orpheum for a musical, the Disney musical, Beauty and the Beast. And it was just magical. I mean, I love that story. It's just, it hits you where it hurts. Makes you feel good. The only problem is I can't stop singing Be Our Guest every time I eat leftovers. Be our guest. Be our guest. Put your magic to the test. Anyway, it's amazing. Then Jackie gets a little annoyed, but it's so great. And I, of course, had to watch Jurassic World Rebirth, where dinosaurs are back again because humans never learn. And I know there's a lot of people that are upset about the CG, but come on, what are you doing here? Are you a graphic design major? Who cares? Scarlett Johansson was kicking butt. So I enjoyed it. And I've been telling some people about this movie, but I did get a chance to watch Eddington. And I'm still trying to figure out if I'm even smart enough to have watched it. And I saw one of the weirdest scenes I've ever seen in a movie. I've been talking to people about it because I just couldn't even believe this was happening. Starts off a normal story. You've got a sheriff that doesn't want to abide by the COVID restrictions of wearing a mask in public. And so he's running for mayor. And it ends so goofy, where all of a sudden he's being dragged naked across the bathroom and hit over the head by an aide. I wish I could even tell you why that was there. I still don't know. Hence why I'm not sure I'm intellectually capable. I'm going to have to watch it again with someone and see if they can crack the code for me. Let's jump to the state fair. We went there. We like to go there every year. And this was the best year ever. The temperature was in the 60s. Finally, I wasn't hot with my Arctic Norwegian blood. I was feeling so good that I even told Jackie that I was willing to wait in a 1 hour long line to get the donuts, the Amish donuts. We did it. We met some very nice people. We talked to them for a while. And we got the donuts. And truly, I would say they are worth an hour wait in line. They were ooey. They were gooey. They were perfectly covered in glaze. So good. But would I wait an hour again? Not if it's hot. But it was perfect. It was actually, I think it was 55 because we jumped in that line when we first got to the fair. And oh man, I was feeling great. You know, the state fair food options range from delicious to this is probably going to kill me by Wednesday. But I still love going. Few of the weird things we tried were, we got the beer soft serve. We had a really awesome time because the Navy band Country Current was playing on the little grandstand right by where the soft serve beer ice cream was being sold. So we sat down to watch the band play, and I love when they play the different songs for each unit in the service, or each service branch, I should say, not unit. And they go through and they'll sing the theme song, and then the veterans will stand up and we can clap for them. And I just really enjoyed the moment. But I had a first. They're playing along and they do the Air Force and the Army and Coast Guard and all those things. And all of a sudden they're playing a song. And I think to myself, what is this song? And I kind of look at Jackie, and she's looking at me because normally I know them, but I didn't know this one. And the sailors go, the U.S. Space Force. And I was laughing, and we're looking around. Nobody's standing up at all. Well, All of a sudden, Jackie hits me on the shoulder and goes, oh, someone stood up. I look over. It was a gal with Downs. But, well, you know, Space Force is really new and she's just being supportive. It was a great time. I also had to try the Uncrusted Burger because you know me with peanut butter and jelly. I love it. And they made a hamburger, or I should say a cheeseburger, with the Uncrustables, the grape one. And I thought this was going to be great. The way that the Uncrustable is structured, it's so porous that what actually ended up happening is it just caught a half a gallon of grease. I did eat a couple bites of it, and I could see how it could be good, but I couldn't get over basically eating grease. So I only had a few bites. We tried the Sweet Squeakers, which were the white cheddar cheese curds in funnel cake batter with a berry drizzle and a lemon whip topping. Those are really good. However, I didn't really get any cheese flavor out of it. I mostly just got the sweetness because they had a little cinnamon sugar on the top and everything like that. But it was really good. And I had to get my customary hot dish on a stick. A lot of people like to talk about it in a negative light, but I love it. It's a meatball and a tater tot and a meatball and a tater tot in a corn dog batter, and you dip it in cream of mushroom soup. To me, that is the fare. I have to get it. It's at the Ole and Lena stand. You'll have to get it next year. And you can tell me you hate it, but I love it. And then Jackie's always got to get the Dole Whip, but they have a really good one that I enjoy. It's a mango chili Dole Whip. Very, very delicious. They put the tahini on it. I enjoy it very, very, very much. We had a different highlight of the fair this year, though, which really points out to the fact that we're aging. We bought an umbrella for our patio. Jackie's been trying to find the right umbrella for our little patio in the back because I complain every time it's 100 degrees out there and sunny and she's got me cooking pizzas on a 1,000-degree pizza oven. So yes, I don't blame her for wanting to get an umbrella so that she doesn't have to listen to me complain about the fact that I have Arctic Norwegian blood. So this is what happens. We take a way we don't normally go, and Jackie looks over and sees these patio umbrellas. And they're big, like 10 by 10. Got a little vent on the top. And she says, let's just go over here and look. So we go over and we look, and I see the price, and I'm like, well, you know, it's more than the ones at Sam's Club, Costco, those places, but it's not unreasonable. And it looked like it was made of good materials. So this guy is trying to give us this pitch, and he's going on and on about all the features. You can tilt it. You can do this. It has the vent. You don't have to worry about the wind. He showed some picture of a storm that it survived, all these things. So I make a motion with my hand above my head where it's almost like a home run motion, which to me means to Jackie, and she knows this, it means just buy it. We don't need to hear this guy's pitch. Because we only could be at the fair until like 2:30. We had other things to do. So I'm like, just buy the umbrella. Like, we don't need to waste our time. Well, the guy interpreted that as, let's go. I don't want to get this. It's too expensive. So he started just throwing stuff in. Free shipping. I'll give you another canvas replacement. I'll give you a cover. We'll throw in the lights. We'll throw this in. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And it was already off for their fair price. And then he's like, oh, you refer anyone, they can get the same price. So if you're in the market for a patio umbrella, talk to me because I can hook you up with a deal. Anyway, We're pretty stoked, and Jackie was flying high all day about this umbrella, and she can't wait to get the umbrella. And he told us they would ship it on Wednesday after the fair and that we'd get it by Friday. And I was like, okay, well, it's going to Jackie's email. She never checks it. We're never going to know if this thing is coming. So I had my friend Dennis and Julia over, and Julia pops up And she's like, I was going to grab your packages, but you got a big umbrella out front. I thought, oh my gosh, it actually came by Friday. So we were able to get it in the house, and we've been trying to find the perfect location to put this umbrella. We've moved it left, right, up, down, over, side. I think we finally got it figured out. I'm happy with the placement, and it does provide adequate shade. And I was out there today. Granted, I know it's not crazy hot right now, but I think it's great. And finally, I can be a princess and not get too hot. The best part about it, though, is that we had to get some pavers to put down on the stand just to help so that it doesn't blow away. And we went to Home Depot and we found the pavers, and it was, of course, on the middle shelf. And so I grab the paver and I pick it up and I'm putting it on the flat cart, whatever the heck that thing is, whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about. And Jackie tries to even just move the paver a little bit, and she couldn't even budge it. She just looks at me and goes, I can't do it. And I was laughing. I was like, oh my goodness gracious, girl. I will get this because I have to be the man. This is my cross to bear. Anyway, we got them, and they look really great with our regular patio pavers. She put some nice flowers on it. It looks great. We got taupe, which matches the house wonderfully. And I'm excited about it. And I'm not ashamed to be excited about an umbrella. Even though Dennis says that's not an umbrella, that's a tent. Touche, touche, Dennis, touche. What else did I have going on this last month? Oh, some late spring yard work. I was getting tired of being attacked by the river birch tree every time I tried to mow. So I asked my friend if I could borrow his truck, and he said sure. And we were trimmed up the shrubs, trimmed the trees all around the house. And we, of course, had to make two trips in the truck because that's how much we had to cut off. And we were driving down. We dropped off the first load. We're coming back. And close in our neighborhood, I see this piece of a lilac tree in the road. And Jackie says, is that from us? And from a distance, I wasn't exactly sure it was a lilac first. But as we got closer, I'm like, definitely that's from us because it's a lilac tree. So we go. I said, okay, we'll grab it on the way back because it was on the other side of the street. We grab our second load and we pull over and grab that little bit that had fallen off, and Jackie tucks it in the back, and we're driving, and I see out the back, the thing flies out, same piece. And I said, well, crap, that piece flew out of the back of the truck again, and it's on a major road and it's right in the middle, and it was a hazard, and we didn't want people to get hurt. So we quickly turned around and I pulled on a side street, and Jackie said she would run out and grab it. So I'm on this side street and Jackie runs into the street and grabs this piece. All of a sudden, cop lights going on. I have never seen Jackie run so fast, which made me laugh because I was thinking, oh no, when a cop is around and the lights are on, your instinct is to run away. But anyway, they weren't coming for us. They were coming to pull over a car. Well, that car decides to pull over on the same side street that we're on. And, you know, I know a lot of cops. I've watched a lot of cops. I've watched every Dateline. I've watched all the things. I've seen the news. You have to be real cautious because a traffic stop is the most dangerous thing cops do. So I'm thinking, we better hope this person doesn't want to shoot anything up because we're literally in the line of fire. And Jackie's just dilly-dallying in the back, trying to break this piece of lilac tree up, tuck it under these other parts. I get it. She didn't want it to fly out again, but I was thinking, we are in the danger zone. We need to get out of here. So she hops in the truck. And I'm like, Jackie, we are lucky that this is just a regular good citizen, but we could have been shot. She needs to have better self-awareness, okay? Either way, we got it down there safely. It really, really makes me want to have a pickup because that was so handy. So then I was like, well, hey, we have this pickup. Let's go get wood chips, get those refreshed, do all the things. It was so nice not having to put it in the car. Didn't have to worry about it getting dirty or anything. Another wonderful update that you're going to want to know. I did get the Ghostbuster Crocs for my to and from work shoes. And you get to pick your Ghostbuster. Right now, I'm rocking Spangler because everybody should know he's the best Ghostbuster. But these things are incredible. They even have a little uniform zipper on them, everything. I was very, very, very excited that they still had them in my size. We also had a board game day with some friends, and I've been trying to downsize the board game closet with some games that I wasn't sure. Should we keep? Should we not? So we tested out one of them, and it's a for sure keep because it was so fun. It was called Rock Hard 1977, and you get to be rock stars. I was the lead guitarist, and it was so great. You have to go and do all, it's like a worker placement style game, so you have to go places to get different things, make a mixtape, get a record deal, all sorts of things. And the really cool dynamic is they have this action where you can use candy for extra actions and you can end up getting low blood sugar and needing to go to recovery, which can slow you down. And it was really quite funny because we obviously are smart enough to understand what the innuendo is there, but we had a good time playing with it. And the money was so realistic. My friend Paul even said he thought he could probably get it down and or bring it down to Big Dog and that it would pass. I thought that was really funny. Paul's a good dude. Well, we also finally were able to let him play Foundations of Rome because he missed the last few times we played it. And that game has the best minifigures in games, in my opinion, especially when you get the Sundrop edition where it makes the buildings look old. So you have all the different types of buildings that you can find in Rome and Colosseum and everything. We had a great time playing that. I'm always so glad when they can come over. Jackie is on the board, so she got me roped into helping at the ballet kickoff party, which I had to stand in the blazing sun on the pavement handing out hot dogs and popcorn. And we had a popcorn debacle to start with. There was zero salt. It was just butter sprinkle. And one of the girls came up to test it before people started coming. And she's like, this is terrible popcorn. And we were laughing. But thankfully she told us because then we knew we had to get salt. Otherwise, everyone would have been thinking we were terrible. How do you guys have a movie theater in your house and you have bad popcorn? And you know Jackie, she's an amazing cook. So she was able to get it figured out so that it would taste better. But I laughed pretty hard. I was like, how is this happening? And that girl also said she really loved boiled hot dogs, which also made me laugh. But I think next year we got to do it the Dippy Dog way because it was so stressful trying to get those hot dogs in those buns in a quick fashion. And I was out there sweating like I was auditioning for Swan Lake, the sauna audition. It was terrible. We also got to take Mom to George's, and we had delicious food and wonderful service, as always. I was able to get my mammogram. It's very important, ladies, to get that done. You got to stay on top of your health. And on the whiskey front, they got a few things. I was able to pick up a Good Times called Dark Fruit, and they had released it when we were actually up for Beauty and the Beast, and I said to Jackie, hey, can we stop over at 1010? I got to get this Good Times. And she said, if you get that one, you can't get the one that has the double wax and the fun sticker. And I said, yeah, it's fine. I just really want to get the whiskey and give it a try. It was supposed to taste like blackberry and cherry and all sorts of things. And I said, no problem. I'm down. That's a deal. So we get it. And I think like a week went by or so. And I cracked it on the patio one evening. And I took a sip of it and I looked at her and then she took a sip of it and she looked at me. We immediately texted Nikki. We're like, get over here. You got to try this. She tries it. It's incredible. It's very, very good. It tastes exactly like cherry, blackberry, and raspberry. And Jackie looks at me and goes, you got to get the double wax one with the fun sticker. So we immediately put an order in for myself and my mom. And it has a really hilarious Brandy Crush sticker. And they call it that because what they ended up doing is taking the bourbon and then putting it in cherry, blackberry, and raspberry brandy casks. And then they put them all together, make the mix, and they called it dark fruit. So that's how it got those fruit flavors. But let me tell you, it was fantastic. And I'm glad to have another bottle because then I can share it with people. Because as you know, my absolute favorite thing to do besides discovering the different flavors in the whiskey is to share it with my friends, even though some of them think it's poison because they do not enjoy the flavors. But I suppose it's like coffee. Coffee is something you got to get used to drinking, and I never made myself get used to it because there wasn't really any point. Caffeine doesn't really impact me really at all. But, you know, first when you start drinking coffee, you got to add all the sugars and the creams and all the things to it. And then eventually you just get used to the taste of coffee and you think it's good. So it's probably the exact same to me. I'm actually tasting cherry and blackberry and raspberry, but if I give it to them, they're basically just getting the alcohol burn, and I get it. And I'm not going to make them do it. I just really enjoy my friends that enjoy it too, because we can riff back and forth, and sometimes they come up with notes that I didn't get, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you're right. That's exactly what that is. I just couldn't pinpoint it. We were also able to find a few of the Penelopes I've been hunting for. I've been able to pick up the Havana, the 17-year-old American Light Whiskey, and the 9-year Tokai barrel finish. And if you know, you know. If you don't, just imagine an explosion of flavors, deliciousness. The Penelope Tokai, this has been one of those bottles I've been hunting forever because I had a different Tokai whiskey from Crittenden's, which is a Missouri company. And that's one of the best whiskeys I've ever had. And so I told myself, if I see anything Tokai, which it's spelled like Tokaji, but everyone tells me it's pronounced Tokai. So I don't know. That's what I'm going with. I told myself if I ever found it, that I would buy it because I just thought that was great. And Penelope came out with it. And it's been like Bigfoot on my whiskey wish list because people will swear they've seen it, but it's always seemed to have disappeared right before I was able to get there. And if you don't know, Tokai is a Hungarian dessert wine, and the barrels give whiskey a rich, honey, sweet, almost apricot vibe. It's like Penelope put on a tuxedo and said, yeah, I can be fancy now. It's smooth, layered, and just different from your standard bourbon. Honestly, it's kind of a pour that makes you stop mid-sentence and go, oh, wow. Dennis told me it tasted like air. He thought it was delicious, but I'm like, air? I'm not sure. It's pretty great. And at the Havana, I was excited to get that because they finished that one in maple syrup and rum barrels. And it is a good, sweet vibe to a whiskey. Very, very good. I guess I don't know what else to say. It makes you feel really fancy, even when you're just sitting on the couch and your Ghostbuster cracks. Let me crack this. I got to take a sip of Clearly Canadian. I'm going to Mountain Blackberry tonight. You know, we've talked about the 90s a lot on here, and nothing says 90s like a sip of Clearly Canadian. The Mountain Blackberry was always my favorite, and then the raspberry, then the peach, then the cherry. But dang, I'm so glad that they're making these. So stand by 1 second. I just love that carbonated sizzle that it gives. So good. Yesterday was the big Iowa clash. If you don't know, Jackie is an Iowa alum. And we started a tradition a few years ago with our friends that went to Iowa State. If Iowa's home, we host. And if Iowa State is home, they host. Well, this year it was their turn to host, and they had a wonderful setup in the backyard. They also have a very beautiful umbrella that we were admiring because ours, we hadn't set ours up yet. And a couple TVs out there, had the games going, the kids were running around. It was great. Well, we got heckled a lot because unfortunately Iowa didn't win, but it was a lot closer than we expected it to be. And when I was walking back home, I was getting heckled because I was wearing my black and gold overalls, which I tried to do a backbend in, and it didn't go the way that I had planned. I'm not sure if it was the chocolate crown, which tastes like Tootsie Rolls and is delicious, that made me think that I could do it, or if it was just the fact that I still feel like I'm 12 years old. I don't know, but my 42-year-old body said, you cannot do this anymore. Your back does not bend in this way. So it was a failure. But I was able to at least redeem myself with my food that I prepared. This year, I ended up bringing the traditional shotgun shells, which I've brought before, but also Carolina Twinkies. And shotgun shells are manicotti shells stuffed with sausage and ground beef, hatch peppers and cheese, and you wrap it in bacon. They're very, very, very good. Carolina Twinkies, though, this was a new one for me. You take jalapenos and you stuff them with pimento cheese. Then you wrap that in breakfast sausage and then wrap that again in bacon. It's basically a cardiologist call. It's basically what cardiologists call job security. Anyway, you throw it on the smoker for an hour. I used a new barbecue sauce called Holy Cola, which was a collaboration between Traeger and Meat Church, which you know me and Meat Church. It's the Holy Grail. I am a member of the congregation. And they put it in these new, awesome, convenient squeeze bottles with a small little spout on it. So I was able to just put a little bit on each shotgun shell and the Carolina Twinkies and then use a little spreader brush it on. There's little mess. It was great. I think they're going to put the rest of their barbecue sauces in that type of a container, and I'm in. It's the way to go. Anyway, it was a sweeter barbecue, and it paired wonderfully with the shotgun shells and the Twinkies. They went pretty quick, too. I always like to impress people with my meat. Well, another big news on the sports front, the ER softball team won the championships, which was amazing for them. The booster club this year, though, was a little bit slacking with all the things going on. I could only make a couple games. I was able to see game one this week, but I missed game two because it started raining. So I thought, oh, it's going to rain all night. Get in the car, drive home. It was done raining. It basically rained for 10 seconds. I've had microwave popcorn take longer than that. So I probably should have stayed. I'm very proud of them, though. We'll see what next year brings because they'll have to move up a division, but it's always really fun to watch them excel. Another thing that's big news over here. You know my fandom with Roosevelt's and all the amazing shirts that they have? They dropped a Goosebumps line. Yes. Goosebumps, the books that made me check under the bed at age of 10. And they still give me the tiniest thrill of fear when I hear a door creak. As a certified 90s kid, this was a non-negotiable. I had to get them. I mean, it's basically a rite of passage. If you grew up in the 90s and never owned a Goosebumps book, how did you even survive childhood? I used to hoard up on them at the book fairs. Love Goosebumps. I went full nostalgia mode. Imagine me standing here like a kid outside a Blockbuster movie premiere, ready to defend my purchase with the ferocity of Slappy, the dummy. And now I'm officially that adult who wears a shirt with a creepy ventriloquist dummy on it, and I feel 10 again. My inner 90s self is thrilled. And honestly, I'm half expecting something in my house to start talking like Slappy any minute now. Any one of these Funko Pops behind me, they're going to start talking. If you see me rocking this shirt, just know I didn't choose the Goosebumps life. The Goosebumps life chose me. Last thing that I want to talk about, it's that time of year again. Football is back, baby! Woo! I actually have it pulled up in the studio, watching the Bills game, and accidentally, I put it on the Espanol version, and thank goodness for all those years of Spanish classes. I was able to back out of it because I knew the way. Most importantly, however, Vikings football is back. That's really what I care about. The season where hope springs eternal. Right until about week 6 when we're all stress-eating hot dish. But this year feels different. We've got Adam Thielen, fellow Maverick legend, still doing his thing. And every time he makes a catch, I feel like I should just stand up and start singing the MSU fight song. I actually won a gift card because I was the only person in the bar that could sing it. You ready? Hail to our colors, the purple and the gold. Rally for victory, we're back of you, so fight, fight, fight. You'll conquer our foes, all you Mavericks brave and bold. So fight on, Minnesota State, come on, let's go, let's go. M-A-V-E-R-I-C-K-S, Mavericks, Mavericks, go State. It's so good. And I'm sorry if I blew out your speakers of your car. The best part of all of this, though, is I'm going to the home opener. And I want to shout out those beautiful, beautiful Mavericks student and alumni discounted tickets. $62.50, and I get to sit on the roof. It's going to be great. There's something magical about that first game. The crowd, the purple everywhere, the irrational belief that this is our year. It's a tradition. We'll get our hearts broken because that's Vikings football. And I'll be there in person to experience every drop pass, every heart attack field goal, and hopefully, just hopefully, a win to kick things off. I really hope that I can get some of my friends back in here so that you don't have to just listen to these random ramblings of just me talking about all the mundane things that life brings. However, However, until then, I figured this was better than nothing. Considering Jackie's getting pulled over by people and they're asking her, what is going on with Elisa? What has she been doing? Why are there no podcasts? So, Steve, this one is for you. All right, folks. That's a wrap on this absolute tornado of an episode of Dippy Does It All. We've talked movies, TV, state fair foods that could double as science experiments, tree branches falling out of borrowed trucks, board games where I was a rock star, Ghostbuster Crocs, and whiskey hunts that felt like Indiana Jones meets your local liquor store. We celebrated Taylor Swift's engagement like distant cousins at a family reunion. I praised Dexter for finally fixing that season 8 disaster. We're cheering that Vikings football is back, and we had our traditional Iowa clash day. So whether you laughed, drooled over mango chili Dole Whip, or just stared at your ceiling wondering why you're listening to this, thanks for joining me. Life may be ordinary, but with a little curiosity, a lot of chaos, and maybe some Crocs, it becomes extraordinary. This is Dippy Does It All. Catch you next time.